You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. It's great to have with us one of my personal heroes, Phil Haney, a man who has served his country with great distinction, among other things, in the front lines of this war for the free world at Customs and Border Protection. He is the author of an extraordinary account of his time there entitled See Something, Say Nothing, and it describes some really horrifying experiences that Phil was subjected to as he tried to protect our country against a phenomenon that we often describe here as Sharia supremacism. It's great to have him with us. He is just back from the front lines in, of all places, South Dakota. We'll talk a little bit about that. But Phil, I did want to just invite you to talk a little bit as we're sitting here at the Conservative Political Action Conference, CPAC, about your insights into the state of this country from your travels, particularly in the aftermath of the publication of your terrific book, and continuing to the present moment.
Well, thank you. That's a great question, and segueing right from Richard Manning's comments and yours about the Constitution. And that is the element of the conservative movement that needs to be enhanced. The one takeaway from 2+ years of traveling around the country is that we are not fluent in constitutional principles, and that the arguments and the premises and the positions that are taken by conservatives in forums across the country are seldom actually based on constitutional principle. So I've been advocating for all of us to become partisans, not partisans with R's or D's or I's after their name, but constitutional partisans, and literally saying that whatever premise or argument you make, you should be citing chapter and verse
grounded
from
the Constitution.
That make you immovable.
And Phil, you were just making the point, which is so eminently sensible that it seems it would not need saying, and yet as you've traveled around the country, you've obviously seen it's not just the left, but to some extent even those on the right have lost their moorings in the Constitution of the United States.
Conservatives will tell you what they're fighting against, and whatever community of conservatives you're in, they'll have a specific area that they're fighting against. But very few can tell you what they're fighting for. And the most fundamental basis, and that is that we are fighting for our sovereignty. After all, the Constitution itself is just a legal brief on the rights that our Creator endowed us with, the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. The Constitution and the Declaration simply describe those rights. And it also says in the Declaration that the Creator instituted government among men, to paraphrase, in order to preserve the rights that He so generously endowed us with. So doesn't it seem like we should all be familiar with the document that preserves our sovereignty?
But to some extent, that implies these days being self-taught. Because, as again, we were talking with Rick a moment ago, that's not necessarily something you're going to get even from a high-priced education at the university level, to say nothing of down in the grade school level. How could that be, Phil? Why is it that that is not part of the curriculum any longer, the Constitution of the United States?
It's a blind spot in our culture.
Is that all? I mean, isn't it really a reflection of what the left has done with its march through the institutions, they say?
Yeah, and that's part of the blind spot, is that we don't recognize that it was deliberate and intentional. We've been gradually led further and further away from the constitutional foundation, and now President Trump is being called a radical because he is allowing the checks and balances form of government that we were founded on to actually operate. Even though it's sometimes like watching sausage being made, his greatest legacy, I believe, when it's all said and done, will be that he allowed the government to go back to the checks and balances form and let the three branches operate. That wasn't the case in the last administration, and essentially, that's what got me in so much trouble.
Yeah. And the trouble, to be very brief about it, was?
That I was contradicting the policies of the previous administration vis-a-vis protection of threat and counterterrorism. They chose to treat our enemies like our friends and our friends like our enemies. Right. And I stood opposed to that and took the hit for it.
And one of the enemies, as they saw it, was you, inside the government, trying to protect our borders, among other things, against these Sharia supremacists who clearly have in mind.
They must have thought so, because they investigated me 9 times.
Yeah.
But they put half amount the energy into the jihadis and these Muslim Brotherhood front groups that I was targeting and watching. They probably would have shut some of them down.
Yeah, we'd be in better shape as
yes,
a country.
We would.
Well, speaking of not paying attention to what is coming into this country, Phil Haney, tell us about your experience yesterday in the Senate of the great state of South Dakota. What were you there to testify about, and what was the upshot of your experience?
Yes, I was invited to testify before the Senate committee at State of South Dakota in Pierre on Senate Bill 200, which was a simple 9-line bill to, let's just say, take a pause. We recognize that there are some flaws and gaps in the immigration system. Let's take a pause, let the system be improved before we let people in that we can't be certain. The 5 W's we say in intelligence: who, what, where, when, and why. We can't really be sure, because we don't have biometrics, date of birth and places of birth and family, those kind of things that are dependable from the countries that are also named in the executive order. Yeah. They don't have a functioning government.
So what is happening on the ground in South Dakota that prompted the introduction of this legislation?
Increase in crime and cost to the state in terms of supporting immigrants who don't assimilate. And so it was an effort to address that. And it was quite a lively debate in the Senate chamber. And the people that opposed the bill sent lobbyists for social service organizations talking about all of the benefits of bringing immigrants into, without actually ever addressing the most fundamental concept, that it's the federal government's responsibility to provide a unified naturalization policy and prevent outbreaks of domestic violence at the state level. And they never addressed any of the constitutional principles. This is, illustrates the point we were making earlier. Here you have in a debate in the Senate of a state trying to decide whether to slow down or put a pause on immigration, and they never addressed any of the constitutional principles involved with it. And I got the feeling, when I did introduce constitutional principles, that I was almost like speaking a different language.
Phil Haney, this is so troubling. The Senate did not, in fact, approve this legislation,
no,
as I understand it, which means that there will continue to be, presumably, a rapid growth in the number of foreign immigrants coming into that state, and its population, its native population, is so small that it won't take much for that to make a very profound demographic difference, will it not?
It's a little counterintuitive. You think it's a small state, so it's not that important, but it's actually one of the better indicators, because when you have a small population like that, the influences from the outside really become apparent.
We will be watching this closely, Phil Haney. I appreciate both your efforts around the country to raise the alarm of the dangers of losing our Constitution or a sense of its importance in our lives, and of bringing in people who are sworn as a matter of religious conviction to its replacement with Sharia, most especially. God bless you. Thank you for, among other things, see something, say nothing. God bless you. Come back to us again very soon.
Thank you very much. Thank you.